Hello and welcome to the Writing Redux podcast. I'm Beatrice Otto and today I'm going to share with you a quotation from the marvellous memoirs of the Hungarian poet Faludi in his wryly titled My Happy Days in Hell. It describes his youth, but then how and why he left Hungary just before the war to avoid having to fight for the Nazis. And then after the war, he went back to Hungary to try to rebuild the country and contribute. And for his services, he ended up in a labor camp. Despite the grim subject, it's written with a lightness, with wit, with humor, with compassion, and with great clarity. It's not over emotional. It just describes what happened and the different relationships between people and also between people and animals. And this quotation is the latter. It concerns the dogs in the labor camp who ostensibly belonged to the guards but kind of abandoned ship and decided to seek refuge among the prisoners, and what happened as a result of that. So it's a touching account of mutual support and succor between the prisoners and some of the camp dogs. And in this and other similar examples he gives, it appears the dogs are very capable of smelling good from bad in people. So here Faludi describes a mutiny by the dogs seeking refuge from the camp guards in the prisoners' barracks, for which disloyalty they were very cruelly punished, as you'll hear. There is then a kind of unspoken pact between the prisoners to care for some of the animals. I found this astonishing on several levels, including the instincts of the dogs and the empathy the prisoners were able to show despite, or perhaps because of, themselves being on a survival knife edge. So here's the quotation. On the morning after they escaped into our barracks, we wanted to take the dogs to work with us, but obeying their instincts, they crawled under the bunks. After we had left the camp, the AVO guards, that's if you like the equivalent of the KGB or SS or something like that, ordered the cooks to remain in the kitchen and keep away from the windows. Then, as Helvetius related, one of the prisoners, they coaxed the dogs out into the yard and began to shoot at them. They did not aim at the head, but at the hind legs, obviously to revenge the desertion. When we returned from work, the whole camp was drenched in blood. The black and white striped mastiff, which had spent the night on Uncle Chapla's bunk, escaped, wounded, to a spot between the two barbed wire fences and was still alive the next morning. My large white bitch escaped to the shed behind the kitchen, where it was nursed by Helvetius. He called over one of the doctors from the infirmary, who extracted the bullets from the dog's legs and thighs and bandaged them. At noon, when Helvetius and the other cooks brought the kettles out to the work sites, he laid the dog in an empty kettle. He carried the animal to the charcoal burner's furnace, where two reliable fellow prisoners were working, Palfi Muore and Lajos Dalnoki Miklos, son of the Prime Minister of the 1945 Democratic Hungarian government. They hid the animal in a woodpile, and Helvetius visited it every day, bringing bones and half of the AVO guard's goulash. I always looked in on the dog whenever I could. She lay motionless in the dark and, according to the charcoal burners, never came out into the open. I squatted down by her, seeing nothing but her luminous eyes and feeling her chin on my hand. She never made a sound, except when she smelled a guard. Then she began to growl, persistently, monotonously, but not louder than the humming of a bee. There's the end of the quote. I hope you like it. I know it's distressing, but it's also marvellous. Thank you for listening.